This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.
The West Automotive Group presents Auto Talk Radio with host Brian Bowersock and co-host Kevin Bowersock. Today's show is brought to you by West Escondido, West El Cajon, West Kearney Mesa, and West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, all part of the West Automotive Group. Get your automotive questions answered. Call Brian and Kevin at 1-888-344-1170. That's 1-888-344-1170. Now, here's your Auto Talk host, Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, welcome to Auto Talk Radio. I'm your host, Brian Bowersock. In the house with me is my co-host, Kevin Bowersock, even though the garden guys forgot who we were.
Yeah, good morning, good morning.
It's all good, you know. As we're waving at them through the window, they were too involved with gophers, apparently. Something going on over there.
Could be old age, too.
Uh-oh. You never know. You just never know. It's, you know, it's garden talk and then auto talk and
financial talk.
No, smart investing, it's called. Yeah.
What's financial talk?
It is financial talk. That's what they do. Yeah, no question. And we're all lined up now. All of us here from the previous station, and now we're all here in a row like before.
Yes.
That's how it was before. It was garden talk and auto talk and then smart investing. And that's how it is again. Although smart investing's on Cape Raise, correct? Yeah. So, and we're both on Cape Raise and the Answer. And I think Garden Talk's on Cape Raise and the Answer. Is that correct? Okay. They're just like us. So, yeah. Just need to get Brent and Chase on the Answer also. I don't know what they're doing only on Cape Raise. But, I don't think they found a slot for him yet on the Answer.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Well, folks, welcome to Auto Talk Radio this morning. As we're talking about everything automotive. Are you messing with your headphones again over there?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not going to talk about gophers today. Garden Talk guys already covered the gopher thing, right? Today we are talking about your fluids on your vehicle and when it's time to service them and why it's important and how to keep those fluids in good working order to keep your vehicle in good working order. But we're happy to talk to you about anything automotive related. You can give us a call here at 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170 here on the Answer San Diego and Cape Raise. And we're happy to answer any automotive questions that you do have this morning. As, one more week and we're into Thanksgiving, huh? Heading that direction quickly.
So this year went by so fast.
It went by fast, but it's been a strange year.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Being a stranger, you would think about it, but it almost seemed like it. I don't know. Of course, the older you get, the faster things keep moving anyway. So
I seen you road testing that Fiero the other day that we've been working on.
So, yes, I did.
Does that work better? Can you hear now?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So it's now we're working on getting it smogged, right?
Yeah, actually, I think he smogged it. I think he smogged it last night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Because there was something, he set the timing on it, and then
got it all dialed
a vacuum line kept popping off the EGR valve or something. And
probably
he had to sell him a new line, their vacuum line for that or whatever, so he said it ran really, really good afterwards.
Oh, good. Yeah, got the clutch all in it and all that stuff, right?
Yes.
So he'll be tooling around town in that bad boy no time at all.
Actually, you know, them cars are little fun cars to drive, too. So
I like little slot cars. They stick to the road real well.
But because they sit so low to the ground.
they do.
It's a car you don't want to go to dinner in. You get home, you know, we got a belly full of food. You got to roll out in the driveway because it ain't standing up.
It reminds me of the old old Corvettes, like the 80s.
The ones that you were actually below the door jamb.
Yeah, what a terrible idea. That car was so hard to get out of.
You know, the funny thing is, I was working at some Chevrolet dealers back then when they made them cars. And I'll never forget, like, older women, like 70, 80 years old, pull in and pop right out of them like it was nothing. And I'm like, I'm in my 20s driving a hard time getting out of this car. And I'm like,
getting out of that car was always like turn and crawl.
Yes.
Yeah. Not my idea of a
It's one of those cars you don't want to go to dinner in.
It was a car that I never wanted to own. I just always thought, man, if I have to crawl in and out of the car I'm driving, it's not a good day. So one of those things for sure. All right. So this morning we are talking about, man, there's lots to talk about when it comes to fluids. And one of the main ones that's important that sometimes gets forgotten is coolant. So one of the important things is, what is the job of the coolant in your vehicle? Well, so coolant exchanges and changing out the coolant is important. The working fluid for the cooling system, basically. This keeps the engine at an operating temperature and transfers heat from the engine to the radiator, where it then transfers it to the external air and keeps the engine at an operating temperature, because
Water does a lot of things. It helps transfer the heat, keeps from hot spots, because it keeps everything at like one even temperature. And of course, clean fluid, really good for everything. I mean, helps lubricate the water pump bearings and keeps the seals clean, keeps the thermostat, you know, from getting gunk on it and getting stuck. And just,
as long as it's clean, yeah.
Yes.
Well, the engine basically is a controlled explosion inside each cylinder.
Yes.
I mean, that's what it is. So it's combustion. That's how an engine, a gasoline engine and diesel engine, both different types of ignition and burning situation. But that's what it is. You got a bunch of little explosions going on in each cylinder. It's what keeps the motor running. But that produces heat. But we want to keep, for performance, we need to keep that engine in a specific temperature range for optimal performance, whether it's cold or hot outside. So the cooling system fluid allows the cooling system, including the radiator, to keep the engine and radiator at just the right temperature, basically. So think of it this way. Coolant fluid is a warm blanket in the winter and a misting fan in the summer.
Well, it also does a really cool thing by providing you heat in the winter, too.
Correct. So you do a temperature exchange with it. Well, and a heater core basically is a miniature radiator inside your dash.
Yes. You're just pushing air through it.
Very true. Very true. So how does coolant flow through the cooling system is a good question. So there's a car's cooling system operates on a loop, pumping a mixture of water and antifreeze, or what we call coolant, because you don't want to run straight water. If you do, you're running straight water, you end up with obviously things rusting and corroding and contaminating inside the engine. So that would be the demise of the cooling system pretty quickly. Running straight water, and so there's a mixture. We usually run 50-50 antifreeze and water, help regulate the engine temperature. Coolant absorbs the heat generated by the engine, transports it to the radiator, then the radiator blowing air through it, obviously driving down the road, or your fan that's on the radiator if you're in traffic, transfers the heat from the through the fins out to the outside, and the coolant then that's cooled down goes back to the motor to pick up more heat. And that's basically how it works. Low or weak coolant levels mean its job performance is compromised and your car can start to overheat. Or like Kevin said, with coolant, you start to get corrosion inside of the radiator, the coolant passages, the head gaskets that are now a lot of metal. They start to rot or deteriorate. The bearings in the water pump, the seals, coolant's just like any other fluid on a vehicle, that it starts to carry the contaminants, the wear inside or the sediment, and it floats around and it can settle places such as in the bottom of the radiator, in the bottom of the cooling jackets inside the engine and that kind of stuff. And then can create hot spots in a motor because the coolant's not reaching those areas, and then creates issues over time. So deteriorates everything. So it's important to change out the coolant on a regular basis as far as that goes. And there's different types of coolant. There's a lot of different types of coolant. We can talk about that. But mostly the easiest to know is extended life and regular life coolant. So regular ethylene glycol is a green type coolant that was originally used in most vehicles for years and years and years, and is still used in some vehicles these days. And then there's extended life coolant, which is a, and But we have what we call oat and different types of extended life coolant. For the most part, what you need to know is you use the proper coolant in a vehicle. Why? Because the cooling system and the components inside of it, seals and that, were made for that type of coolant. And help by using the wrong coolant, you can create deterioration of different metals. Things get attacked inside there, et cetera, that we don't want to do. But coolant breaks down like any other engine fluid. Just as motor oil is vital engine performance additives, your coolant has additives that prevent boiling, freezing, corrosion. When these additives are depleted, contaminants and debris can begin to build up on the radiator. And also, like I said, to the bottom of the engine block, affecting the performance. It's essential to have your coolant fluid exchanged every so often. And by the way, coolant spelled backwards is Tenelock.
Right.
A word that means absolutely nothing. But anyway, as far as the coolant goes, we typically recommend that if you run its regular ethylene glycol that your vehicle requires, that you change the fluid out every 2 years or 24,000 miles, as far as that goes. If we're running extended life, we say 3 years or 50,000 miles. Sometimes folks will say that, that coolant lasts 100,000 miles on extended life coolant. The problem with that is it doesn't, and it breaks down. And by the time you change it out at 100,000 miles, you have other issues going on, which we see inside the motor, right?
Yes.
So head gaskets get attacked, blown head gaskets, things like that. Sediment levels become extremely high inside the radiator. Because this coolant, as it breaks down and travels through the motor, picks up, like we say, all of the sediment from inside the block. And when it breaks down, it creates more sediment. That sediment has to go somewhere. So a lot of times it ends up in the bottom of the cooling jackets in the block, or it ends up in the bottom of the radiator, reducing the cooling capacity of the radiator. I've done some auto man segments where we've cut open the radiator, and the whole bottom of a radiator, a third of it is just full of sediment. There is no cooling capacity in that third of the radiator. So in other words, you take your radiator and you're only working at two thirds when that happens. And that is strictly from not changing out coolant properly and leaving it to its demise for long extended periods of time.
That's the thing about wear like that too. When the inside of the thing start getting a little bit coated. So that's, slowly, you may not notice it by the gauge, but it is slowly not cooling as well. And you'll notice, like, if you started to do uphill climbs, like something under load, air conditioner on, then you start to notice it.
Engine temp rises.
But on a normal day, you may not notice stuff like that. And then when a couple of them get finally plugged, it'll creep up really quickly.
It can. And fast. Exactly. So, but over time, that's still deteriorating the efficiency of the cooling system and also the components in there. So, and it just keeps going, all vehicles don't need a coolant, like we said, exchange the same time. But if it is ethylene glycol, 2 years, 24,000 miles, or 3 years, 50,000 miles. And it's a good time to consider replacing the thermostat when you do that. That is a mechanical cooling device. It opens and closes all the time, and keeps your engine at a regulated temperature. So they do wear out and they do stick. And if you're lucky and it sticks open, therefore it doesn't do any damage. If it sticks shut, you ended up with problems. So, and from that can cause a pretty serious issues with the motor. So anyway. All right, folks, give us a call here, 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Anything automotive related, we're happy to talk to you about this morning. We're going to take our first break real quick. We'll be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
Hi, folks. Welcome back to Auto Talk Radio this morning. I got to make sure I get the right dial here. I keep turning your headphones up, huh? You can.
I'm like,
boy, it's really loud in here.
My hearing's all of a sudden got better over the year.
You never know. All right, folks, we're talking about coolants, transmission fluid, fuel injection cleanings, fluids on vehicles, all the cool stuff about that and why it's important to service them. But you can give us a call here at 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. I do want to remind you that Auto Talk Radio is brought to you by the West Automotive Group, which consists of West Escondido Automotive and Transmission at 2200 Auto Parkway up in Escondido, AAA approved and STAR certified for 28 years now, taking care of folks up there in the North County, along with West El Cajon Automotive and Transmission, 844 North Johnson Avenue in El Cajon, AAA approved and SMOG certified out there for over 7 years, taking care of folks in the East County. Along with West Kearney Mesa Automotive and Transmission, 8027 Balboa Avenue, AAA approved and SMOG certified right there in Central San Diego. Taking care of folks over there for over 4 years. And now West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, 5726 Miramar Road over there in the Golden Triangle across the freeway from where we're at now. AAA approved and STAR certified. Taking care of folks over there for 2 years now, almost coming up here this April. So a year and three quarters or whatever you want to call it. So good stuff. All of us at the West Automotive Group, my employees, myself, we all come together to bring you Auto Talk Radio for one simple reason. We believe in the same philosophy, and that is we never put money ahead of people. Very important to us. Let's stop in and have your vehicle service repaired and find out what quality automotive service and repair is all about for sure. The West Automotive Group is also proud to offer 6 months no interest for your vehicle service and repair needs on approved credit. Very important. You can get one of our cards and used anytime. 6 months, no interest. It's very helpful, especially these days with uncertainty and everything going on. It can just help you spread some things out, and it doesn't cost you any interest, and makes it easier to get those repairs and services done and make sure you have reliable transportation, which is important. You can also stop in and take advantage of our CertiCare transmission diagnosis. If you think you have a transmission problem, get it in. Let one of us our experts get it all figured out for you and make sure what's going on, because all too often we see people that think they have a transmission problem and it's related to something else. Last thing we want you to do is spend money on a repair that's not needed. You can also always drop your vehicle and use our shuttle rides to or from work or home and no charge. And we always have low-cost rental vehicles available at all four locations. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, etc. by going to westautomotivegroup.com. And follow from there. You can also from there go check out the Auto Man segments. I am the Auto Man on the CW on Fridays, and I'm the Auto Man on Fox 5 on Wednesdays. Today's Saturday when we do Auto Talk Radio. We have all these different things going on. So it is Saturday, right?
Yes.
Okay. Whew. Just double checking. But so anyway, you can check out all our Auto Man segments right there to our YouTube channel. And also you can go check out all the Auto Talk Radio segments also through there. All of them are there. We also, you can always, if you miss any of the Auto Talk Radios, and all our podcasts are available through Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pandora, Deezer, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio.com, and TuneIn. Boy, that's a list of places.
Still impresses me that you know all of them. So
I wrote it down.
Yeah, very good, very good.
I'm not that good. So
he's reading off the teleprompter.
I don't have a teleprompter. I have a piece of paper though. I can spell and write. So there's a lot of them to remember. If it was only a couple, it'd be easy. But there's a lot. But which is good. It's accessible, so you can get out there and check it out, get it figured out, or whatever it is, and go from there. Yeah, you can get all that information, or you can just go to westautomotivegroup.com and go from there. This morning, give us a call at 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Or you can email us anytime at autotalk@westautomotivegroup.com. But if you want to chat with us, give us a shout. Let's grab Paul and Santee real quick. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. I was wondering if you heard anything about the reason for the Toyota RAV4 Prime delay. It was initially supposed to be available in May or June.
Yeah, I'm sure some of it has to do with this year and everything that's been going on, probably. Yeah. I don't know for sure what the delay is on it. There's been several vehicles that things have happened to this year, though, that were delayed a bit out. So when are they saying it's supposed to be available now?
No one knows for sure. I talked to Longo Toyota, which purports to be the biggest in the country as far as Toyota dealerships, and they said it was a year and a half out until I could expect one.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, I'm sure I'm sure there's a list of people already, because there always is that want them. But yeah, and I do believe they are the biggest Toyota dealer in all of the United States. So up there in Orange County, right?
Actually, it's in El Monte.
El Monte, okay, gotcha.
East of L.A., about 30 miles, I think it is.
Gotcha. I know it's supposed to be a humongous Toyota dealer. Never been there, but I've heard of it. So, so if anybody can get their hands on them eventually, it'll probably be those guys. I'm sure they'll get one of the first shipments because of the volume they sell. Are they taking deposits on them and people?
Well, they did say that they had a lot of people with deposits, and so. But I wasn't interested in waiting a year and a half. I'll figure out something else that'll fit the bill.
Exactly. Yeah. Do you have a RAV4 now?
I do, and it's a V6. And why I was interested in the Prime is because it has the same or more power than my V6, which is a pretty strong motor for that size of car.
Gotcha. Yeah. Exactly. Well, this should be interesting. When they come out, for sure.
Okay, thank you very much, Brian.
No problem. Hey, thanks for being a listener, and have a wonderful, safe weekend.
You as well. Thanks a lot.
Uh-huh, bye-bye. So, there's been delays on several cars.
Yeah. Well, I kind of wonder sometimes if they're going to wait until a better year so that it'll have more of an explosion of people buying it. I mean,
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of people. There's the new Ford Bronco, I believe, got delayed too. It was supposed to be out this year. So and then there's also a waiting list for the Raptor Ranger. They're gonna make a Raptor Ranger.
So what motor are they gonna put in the Raptor Ranger?
I don't know. I didn't read all the stuff on it. I was like, I'm not gonna wait to on a list. It's not using my thing. So you see, when I'm looking for a car, it's a car I want. Some folks buy cars because a car I need. You know what I mean? Some people buy. Get on those lists and they just want to have that car. So
yeah, but they might be, who knows, they might have four or five cars anyway, so it's not like they're really needing a car, they just want that car. So
that's true, you know, or they're willing, or their car's fine, they're willing just to wait for it, and they're going to drive their car until they get that car or whatever. So it's all good. All right, folks, 888-344-1170. It's 888-344-1170 here on Auto Talk Radio. Let's grab Paul in Coronado. Good morning, Paul.
Yeah, hi. Hey, I want to ask you about how the electrolysis works with an iron block and a aluminum head if you don't change out your radiator fluid.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody told me that can happen. And then I have a couple other questions, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I asked you about my idle air control valve on my 85 Toyota. You gave me your website or you gave me your email, and I lost it. If I could have that again. To see if you can locate one for me. And then, do you know any carburetor mechanics?
Well, so for this vehicle that you're talking about now, what vehicle? What type of vehicle with a carburetor? Because some carburetors are just really tough. But
it would be the Nissan 84 Nissan. Okay. Yeah, the tough one.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there's a lot worse than that. Some of the preludes, side draft carbs and stuff like that take a lot of experience to deal with.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So carburetor people are harder and harder to find. We do some of them, like on motorhomes, things like that. Cars, we don't. The problem with those is finding parts for them, to be honest with you,
right,
when it comes to the carburetor itself.
This guy that I took it to said he's going to have a hard time finding solenoids for this particular carburetor.
Exactly. Well, most of that stuff's long gone. That's the problem. So, unfortunately.
Right.
There are some remanufacturers of carbs out there. Sometimes you got to replace the whole carb, and that is possible, too. So, it just
depends. I didn't think of that.
Yeah, it just depends what's going on with it. But you wanted my email. The best way to email us is just autotalk@westautomotivegroup.com. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. And that way you can shoot me an email on that idle control motor. I remember talking to you about it, but, right. The coolant electrolysis. So a couple things happen there is what happens, with the different types of metals and, creating electrolysis can actually, electrolysis will then start to eat into metals, in other words aluminum and things like that, and we see more damage like aluminum heater cores where the electrolysis gets high inside the cooling system and will actually eat a hole through the heater core and you end up with leaks if you don't get that flushed out and cleaned out. And there's a whole process to do so, just replacing the heater core, it'll be not too long and then the heater core leaks. We see F-150s had a big problem with that. Remember, Kevin?
Ground straps help that too.
They do. So a lot of times they will have a TSB or bulletin about installing an additional ground strap to reduce the electrolysis concern.
Okay, well, that's interesting because I've already replaced 4 or 5 heater cores. And it's because I don't get my fluid changed out, or should I install a strap like you were saying?
Well, how long are these between replacing them? How time and mileage?
About every 4 or 5 years.
Well, how many
guaranteed
miles?
In my, oh, hell, I don't drive very much. I don't at all. Gotcha. So it just, I just work here in Coronado mostly, you know.
What type
and
of?
Over the bridge every.
Is it this Nissan you're talking about?
Yeah, 84 Nissan.
Gotcha.
2.4 liter.
Well. It's imperative to regularly change it. And that car uses regular ethylene glycol coolant. So every 2 years minimum, I would be changing that coolant out without question. But yeah, you know, it could also be the quality of the heater cores you're getting nowadays too. I mean, some of them for those older cars, the quality of them has gone downhill.
That's what I was kind of wondering myself.
Yeah, so that could be part of it. But yeah, it never, and if sitting a lot, I mean, the electrolysis could be picking up on the vehicle. It never hurts to add an additional ground strap to some of those. But those typically were for vehicles that we saw a lot of problems with specifically. And the F-150 was one that had Ford F-150 had a lot of issues with creating a high level of electrolysis inside of it. So, cooling system.
Okay, now... I've been using the old school. You can only get it from O'Reilly's. The lime green coolant.
Uh huh.
Is that you mentioned the coolant is important to proper coolant?
Yeah. Well, that vehicle uses ethylene glycol coolant, so the green ethylene glycol is the proper coolant for that.
Okay.
Yeah, like I said, I would just make sure it's changed out. Obviously, you don't drive a lot, so every 2 years minimum timeline-wise, and that'll help keep everything clean. Okay?
Gotcha. Okay, you said autotalk@west?
Automotive.
Your email?
Yeah, autotalk@westautomotivegroup.com.
Great. Okay, man. Appreciate you guys helping me out.
No problem, Paul.
I won't lose this one.
You got it. Great to talk to you, man. Have a wonderful, safe weekend.
Right. Thank you, man. You too.
Okay. Bye. Take care. Bye-bye. All right, folks. Give us a call here. 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Anything automotive related, we're here to talk to you about as you're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer and K-Praise San Diego.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. I'm your host, Brian Bowersock. Mr. Kevin Bowersock is in the studio with me, as always.
Good morning.
You're napping over there.
No, I'm just relaxing.
Just relaxing. A relaxing Saturday.
Yes.
One of those amazing things.
Sit around, talk about cars.
Hey, love cars. Love talking about cars and everything that cars do.
Yes.
All the fun stuff that goes along with them. I do want to remind folks that Auto Talk Radio is also brought to you by Interstate Battery of San Diego. Interstate Battery, a battery for every need. They are the highest quality batteries out there without question. We do not stock nor sell any other batteries at the West Automotive Group for one simple reason. Interstate Batteries are the technician's choice across the nation and around the world. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. No question.
I see they're changing their colors, though.
They do that every so often.
Well, I even seen a red Interstate race car. I was like, wow. Because, I mean, normally you're used to that lime green color they have. You know what I'm saying?
Green and black. Yeah, that's kind of their tradition.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if they're changing all their colors. They just might be throwing a little red in there and a little more color, you know. It's one of those things for sure. But Interstate Batteries are the highest quality batteries out there. If you need a battery for any of your vehicle needs, hop on westautomotivegroup.com, make an appointment, get in. We'll get you an Interstate Battery installed. If you need a battery for any other need, you can check them out at their storefronts at 9345 Cabot Drive in Miramar or in La Mesa at 70th and University. Interstate Batteries, a battery for every need. Nice quality stuff out there. Okay, so we're going to have a guest here real quick. We're going to get RC on here with us. Good morning, RC. Are you there, my friend?
Yeah, I'm there.
Hey, how are you doing this morning?
Good.
Hey, I heard that you had an awesome drive-by of lots of cars the other weekend. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I also got Hot Wheels that were unopened.
That is so cool. Do you know how many cars actually cruised by your house?
I think it was 200.
It was. Yeah, Brett was telling me that they had over 200 cars that drove by your house. And there was all kinds of cool cars, wasn't there?
Yeah, and I also got this Matchbox police car that said San Diego Police on the side.
That is so cool. So cool. What was your favorite car, though, that cruised by?
It was the Ferrari, actually.
The Ferrari? Yeah. Yeah, I know. There was some. Tri-turbo. What was that?
The Tri-Turbo is my favorite.
Very nice. Very nice. But there was a lot of really cool cars, huh?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
And it was really cool, all the people that turned out for that for your birthday, because you're 11 now, right?
Yeah, I am.
Awesome. That is so awesome. Well, I'm glad that all those folks came by, and I'm glad that you enjoyed cars. And, hey, man, you know, we've been loving cars for a long time. Kevin and I, when we were young like you, we were really into cars like we still are now. And just good stuff, man. Cars are amazing. And everything from sports cars to off-road trucks to fun stuff. And I'm glad that you enjoy them so much.
Yep.
It's really cool. Well, hey, we just glad to have you call in. We're glad that they were able to put that all together for you. Keep loving cars. So you really
like the Pantera so much.
Oh, yeah, the Pantera. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, and I also got a Hot Wheels full-size Pantera.
Really?
It wasn't like the real Pantera. It was bigger than a Hot Wheel, much bigger.
Nice. Very nice. Very nice. Do you have a lot of Hot Wheels?
Yes, I'm rich. I'm rich of Hot Wheels.
Rich of Hot Wheels. That is so cool. How many Hot Wheels do you have, you think?
A lot.
A lot?
How many I have.
That is really...
I got a 100 car case.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, those are really fun to collect. No question about it, and play with, obviously. So,
yeah.
Hey, well, keep enjoying the cars, and we're glad that we could help out, be part of your cruise by. I'm glad that all those folks showed up and you were able to enjoy that. And I hope you had a happy 11th birthday, RC.
Okay.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling in. It was good talking to you.
All right.
All right. You take care now.
Call anytime.
Yep. Bye. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye. So, folks, they did a drive-by for RC's birthday. We were talking about it on the radio the other day. Really good stuff. He got to see a lot of really cool cars. He's really into cars and Hot Wheels, and cars are his thing. So glad he got to call in and talk to us, and glad that we could get the word out there with everybody else, and so many cars showed up. Yeah, Brett was telling me over 200 vehicles showed up for that.
That's awesome.
And the San Diego PD and everybody else.
Flipping their lights on. And
oh, yeah, doing all the cool stuff, man. So, and his cars are really a big thing for him. So I'm glad we could kind of help be part of that, and he was able to call in. He just got to see that.
The neighborhood was kind of busy that day with 200 cars rolling through
it. I bet it was, but what a great cause. Growed a great cause. So all good stuff, man. You know, when you can make somebody's day, that's a good thing to do.
Yes, yes.
I'm glad to see a young person that's into cars because, you know.
You know what? When he was talking about saving Hot Wheels cars, I haven't heard anybody say they really have Hot Wheels cars in a long time. So, I mean.
You still have Hot Wheels, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I do.
You saved them from when you were a kid.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure. The kid played with them. I mean, Christian played with them a little bit, but we got a ton of Hot Wheels.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So
they're in the house somewhere.
They still make them. That's another a thing that's been going for a long time.
So now the question is,
how many years Hot Wheels have been around, but that's for a long time.
That's what I was just wondering. How long? I wonder how, and now that I think about that, now I think I'll look that up later.
Yep. Yep. Well,
1968.
See, Brent, I knew Brent.
Brent is already on.
Google that. I'm talking about the Ranger Raptor, and he came in and said, it's going to have the V6 twin turbo motor in it. So I don't know. Did you see when they're expecting that truck to be out, the Raptor?
I can take a look.
Oh.
because it's going to be, when he came in and said that it's 3-liter twin turbo, I'm like, well, is the little Raptor going to beat the big Raptor now?
Oh, my.
That's a lot. I mean, twin turbocharged. V6, that's going to be moving.
Yeah, I saw pictures of that truck, and I was like, whew, that's a good-looking truck. It's probably going to be a $70,000 Ford Ranger, but it's a good-looking truck.
Hey, you know, everything's over 50 grand anymore, it seems like.
You know, you can, I'm sure, well, a Raptor was, you know, 70 grand, 80 grand, I think, something like that. So,
I mean, obviously, we're all watching more. I think it's IMBA or something. I don't know. It's on the Netflix, you know, deal, whatever. But I started watching because, you know, Dukes of Hazzard came out when I was a kid, and I was the other day ago. It was just something. It was a TV show that I was going to sit down and watch. You know, if you sit down at 9 o'clock at night, I'll sit down and watch a few minutes of it before I go to bed, right? Mm-hmm. But they have commercials on there, and Shell came out with a commercial and said, I'm trying to remember the exact year, so don't like totally hold this, but it's going to be the next 15 years or so. So I think it said 2030 or 2035 or something like that. We plan on being zero emissions. And I was like,
yeah, 2035. Was the not going to sell any more internal combustion engine cars in California, I believe.
Well, but if Shell's saying they're going to be zero, what does that mean? So we were trying to, you know, at work, we were talking
about. Oh, well, they're expected that what their fuels are burned in will be put out zero emissions when done. So that's through the catalyst and everything else.
Well, I get that. But
they're not going to stop producing.
Are they going to do it by hydrogen or how are they going to do it? I mean, that's why we were trying to. I don't think it's going to be batteries because, you know, the fuel companies are going to want to do something other than batteries. So hydrogen or something becomes 0%. In which then again, you know. Is California going to really say no more is it really a fossil fuel anymore? So at that point, gasoline engine can still be sold if it's running on hydrogen. You know what I'm saying? Of course, it wouldn't be a gasoline engine anymore, but it would still be a mechanical engine like that.
Yeah, and the question that comes up with all that, you know what? He's talking about, the wonderful governor was talking about going to electric vehicles. But if you have to stop and think about this, we all know that electric vehicles aren't that environmentally friendly.
No,
either.
They're bad.
The batteries are terrible.
Because all the waste. And then what you got to dig up to produce the special, you know, the you know, like the lead plates or whatever kind of batteries they're using, all that stuff's got to come out of the ground. So you got to dig it out of the ground. Then trying to get rid of it after, you know, once the battery's can't be charged anymore. Now you have to dispose of them. So
can't just stick it back in the ground. That's for sure.
No,
it doesn't work out.
It's just not that easy, is it?
No.
It's kind of like motor oil. I mean, it comes out of the ground, but you just can't throw it back in the ground after it's been burned. You know what I'm saying? It just don't work that way. So and then you got to remember too, electricity. Now, granted, in the Midwest, in some like where we grew up, the river turned the
generators to produce electricity.
It's hydro dam.
But here, they use, you know, either propane, natural gas to power the generators, to turn the generators to produce electricity. So you're still burning
fossil fuels.
Exactly. So, you know, and if we all went to electric cars, that means they have to produce that much more electricity. So
yeah, most of it
basically
is not,
in the end, it just not
it's the same. Let's just call it the same. Anyway, but prime example, I mean, and here they shut down all the nuclear power plants that actually was one of the cleaner ways to produce electricity, as long as you didn't have something go wrong. So, but yeah, I don't know. It's so, one of those things.
Yeah. So in the end, my thing is electric cars are convenient. I mean, if you're running around town, because you come home, you plug it in, you don't have to go to the gas station if you're just in town.
Time saving for sure.
So, I mean, it's a really cool concept for, you know, somebody just running around town.
It is. But in the same essence, like we're talking, it does require using of natural environmental things and the waste from it when it's done.
That's why I don't.
It's not great. So if you think you're really saving the environment, you should just walk or ride a horse. But then a horse lets out gas that they say like messes up the environment too. So you can't ride the horse no more. And the cows, you can't have them because they're destroying the ozone layer. And man, it's just now I don't know what to tell you to do. So I'm just going to keep driving my car. I'm good.
As soon as you said horse, I was thinking of the cow thing. I was like, wait a minute, you can't have a horse these days either.
Gas from the cow because it eats. Yeah, well, the horse does the same thing, and it's going to eat a hole in the ozone layer, so you can't ride a horse anymore. So you're just going to have to walk and barefooted because all the shoes you wear, there's
rubber. That's petroleum products.
It is. So see, he's going to have to walk around barefooted. Brandon bamboo shoes. His head. He's like, oh man, this has gone a wrong direction.
I just all the callus on the feet and everything.
Well, at least here it doesn't get as cold as other places. Think you even will walk barefooted when there's snow and ice, man.
The pedicure people will be happy to get a lot of bad feet.
All right, this went way wrong. Let's back to cooling we're talking about. Anyway, so interesting enough, though, as you are right, is there's so many things that go into the process of vehicles and everything else. And even though they say things are more environmentally friendly, maybe they are a little bit more, but there's impact to everything with every vehicle, et cetera. And that's a good point. So it's one of those things. I did want to hit on real quick the different types. So there's three types of coolant. There's the conventional green coolant, antifreeze, which ethylene glycol based. This typically have all coolants have anti-corrosion additives that provide extra corrosion protection and over time. 2 years, 24,000 miles for those pretty much. Some manufacturers required back in the day 15,000 miles for that coolant to be changed out. But most of it now is 2 years, 24. It's pretty good. There's extended life, like the Dex Cool and Ford Extended Life and stuff. Those were OAT coolives. OAT, what's called OAT, which is organic acid technology, in those that protect the system for corrosion longer. Some manufacturers said they last 150,000 miles. That doesn't really happen. They don't last that long. Bad idea. I say 3 years, 50,000 miles. We do. If you change it out of 3 years, 50, you really prevent, because that when that coolant breaks down, it does create a ton of sediment. And that's what we see plugging radiator fins and stuff like that. So you let that coolant go over 70,000 miles and you're going to end up with the issues. You really do. So especially if you get any air into the cooling system whatsoever. Whoa.
It starts crystallizing right away.
It does right away. It's terrible. That's why. So with these coolants and like Toyota's extended life, people might say, well, the coolant light came on, the coolant's low. I haven't seen anything on the ground. And you put the vehicle up and you look like the water pump's been leaking and there is a stalagmite running down the motor. That's because when those extended life coolants hit the air, they what did you just call it? They like fossilize.
Crystallize.
Yeah, there you go. And they create these, we call them stalagmites of coolant, but that's truly what they look like. You can get these big hanging things. The coolant never actually hits the ground.
Well, the air, the heat, and all that stuff just like cooks it and it turns into.
It does. And it turns into
like
It's like putting sugar water in a frying pan.
It is. Same idea. Yeah. There you go. Good point. So it turns into that. And then there's hybrid oat antifreezes. Not hybrid cars, but the hybrid coolants go into regular cars. A fast-acting formula that may last for a long time also. But once again, still we're finding that these break down. So if you want to keep your cooling system in good order, 3 years, 50,000 miles. You know, you can hybrid oats and oat coolants shouldn't be crossed. So this where it becomes very imperative to put the proper coolant in your vehicle without question. Because by mixing them, you can create issues that create even worse situations. So get it cleaned out, get it flushed, you know, and what it comes down to basically regular coolant, ethylene glycol, 2 years, 24,000 miles, flush regularly. Any other coolant, the oat or the hybrid oats, 3 years, 50,000 miles, and you keep your cooling system in good working order and prevent a lot of issues along the way. So, and you know, because radiator hoses break down internally more so than not nowadays. We don't see them breaking down externally. They start to break down internally. And so all that stuff, along with the corrosion inside the blocks and the heads and everything else, and then the level of what were we just talking about? With the F-150s, when they have their
I just had a brain fart too.
Anyway,
the electrolysis
level goes up the longer you leave the coolant in. If you change it out regularly, it will keep the electrolysis controlled in all systems as far as that goes. So doing a good flush, cleaners, sealer, lubricant that goes with the flushing, and then the new coolant just keeps your cooling system in good working order for sure. So let's grab Bruce real quick in Carlsbad. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning.
How are you doing, sir?
This is not.
You're breaking up on us, my friend.
Are you okay? There? Let me get out here a little farther.
There you go. We got you now.
Okay. I assume in house you have an oscilloscope capability to look at the actual waveform of the secondary coil or at the spark plugs themselves on a typical ignition system, not a coil over. Not the coil on the plugs, but the regular ignition wires.
Absolutely.
Okay. I assume that when you put the capacitive probe on, you have a specific place that you put it and that you have a database of waveforms to compare it to. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Well, we know what a good waveform looks like, so with an ignition. So, yes, and we can tell where there's spots where things are dropping out or we get an extended burn or whatever.
So do you have a specific spot that you're supposed to attach the probes to?
Well, it depends on the ignition system of the vehicle. Back in the day when a coil was separate, there was leads for the negative and positive side of the coil, and then you put a clamp on the coil wire, and then you had a clamp on number one plug, and it took input from all of those and created your form. And it does depend on the oscilloscope these days. They're not used near as much. We still do use smaller ones on even coilover, though, to check coils and things like that. So
right. Oh, well, what I'm getting at here is with the you know, in the old days, you just had the single wire. The spark plug wire was a single uncoiled wire going down it. And now they're carbon resistive.
Correct.
Coiled over like a fiberglass base.
Correct.
A non-ferrous base. And it would seem that depending upon where you put the probe, like if you put it right at the spark plug versus back towards the distributor, that you're going to see a large increase as you're going back towards the distributor as opposed to putting it on right at the spark plug. Because after the ignition takes place during that interval, there's going to be a big drop in the resistance across that gap, the gap being infinite resistance at one time, and then it's going to go down dramatically. So that means that the remaining voltage that appears at the spark plug is going to increase as it's going away from the spark plug because of the distributed resistance or impedance of the spark plug cable itself, the ignition wire in itself.
Well, and it, the way that it picks up and reads it, it does not. So what you're saying is that you'd get more voltage if you're checking down there versus up at the top, but it doesn't really, scope doesn't really work that way. So,
have you just tried it yourself just to see if it, because you do, if you're looking at it on an oscilloscope, you can read the peak to peak value.
Correct. Yeah. It does not change. Does not change for that. No, sir. No.
And that holds true over the current,
now it does
resistive type wires.
Correct. And it will change with obviously larger spark plug gap and things like that. But when it comes to the wire, one end or the knot, that does not change for that. All right. Hey, Bruce, we're going to actually go. Appreciate your question. You can give us a shout next week or send me an email. San Diego and everybody out there, thanks for listening today. We always appreciate you joining in to Auto Talk Radio with us. You can email us anytime at autotalk@westautomotivegroup.com or give us a call here anytime during the show from 7 to 8 on Saturday mornings. Keep the rubber side down and the shiny side up. Till next Saturday, this has been Auto Talk Radio on The Answer and K-Praise.
For answers to all your automotive questions, tune in every week at this same time for Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock. To learn more about Brian, become a guest or sponsor of the show, or if you have additional questions, visit thewestautomotivegroup.com. That's thewestautomotivegroup.com and click on Auto Talk Radio. Join us again next week for more Auto Talk.
This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.